Peace be with you, my friends, whom I miss very much, and I welcome you to the readings for the Mass this weekend, which are the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B. The first reading comes from the Book of Wisdom, Chapter 2, then that's Psalm 53. The second reading is from the Epistle of James that I spoke about recently, and then the Gospel this weekend is continuing on from Mark, Chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. One of the characters that appears in all of the readings this weekend are children, or people or individuals who represent the simplicity and the innocence of children. It's interesting that the Gospel today continues on straight after an exorcism that Jesus performed on a child, and the father of that child offered us those famous words when Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in God, the Father?" or words similar to that effect. The sick child's father said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Wow, the number of times that I've had to pray that prayer during the course of my life. I wonder whether you have as well. But today's Gospel moves on from that. And here I go, jumping ahead. Next week, next verses, from Mark's Gospel also brings in the imagery and the element of children. And Jesus places the child before the disciples and says, anyone that causes one of these little ones to sin, it's better that that person not be born. And right in the middle we have of those two elements, the exorcism and the fear of causing one of the innocent children to sin, is today's Gospel. It is flavoured with the epistle from James, with the elements that are in there about how to live the life as a good disciple, how to be a good follower of Jesus and to go out, therefore, to be sent, to be a new apostle. I'll come back to that in a minute as well. But let's look at today's Gospel. So the first thing that happens in the Gospel today is that Jesus is leaving the area where he was, going through Galilee, and he's coming to Capernaum, which is the home of Peter and Andrew, which Jesus has kind of made his temporary setup. It's his base, as it were. And he may have lived there for the better part of the 3 years of his adult ministry. And it's in this journey that, for the second time, he tells the disciples about his passion, his death, and then in 3 days he will rise again. But they did not understand, we're told. They did not understand what Jesus was talking about. However, Mark has inserted this in here because Jesus is now on his way to Jerusalem and he needs to lay the foundations, as it were, for his audience who are, that's us today, by the way, for us who are trying to understand the movement of Jesus' life and the scene that is set for his passion, death, and then ultimately his resurrection. So he puts us in with the disciples. He draws us in and he's trying to teach them as Mark is trying to teach us through Jesus' conversations. So we actually are invited into this journey to Capernaum and then ultimately onto Jerusalem, but it is the journey of our eternal life, or to our eternal life, I should say. The next thing that happens is that Jesus asks the disciples, "What are you arguing about while we're walking along the way there?" And they're too embarrassed to tell him, and understandably so, because what they would have told him was something which was embarrassing. Anyway, as it turns out, they were arguing over who was the greatest out of the disciples. Jesus hadn't sent them forward at this stage, so they weren't apostles as such. They were still learning. That's the first part of the Gospel. And I guess there's an examination there for us. Are we being sent out? Are we doing anything with what we have learned of Jesus' life, death and resurrection? Or are we still in the teaching phase? That's what Mark does with his gospel. He uses, draws the audience in so that they become part of the whole story. And then that story is a living story. It's not just an historical event. It's a living story of which we are the ones that either take it up or we don't. And part of the humanity that each of us have to live with is that, yes, we do get caught in power games. So Mark has included this in his gospel today. And it does reflect the conversations and more than the thoughts, I think. I think it is more than the conversations. At times it is the behaviour also of people who want to put themselves in a position of power, or they find themselves in a position of power and authority. And it's the way that such people exercise or live out that power and authority. Now, you can look at your definition of power and authority in whichever way you like. It may be because you are a parent, the head of a household. It might be that authority that you have and the power that comes from that. We can examine ourselves in such a role and see, how do I do that? Am I a just father, mother? Or am I somebody that wants to exercise power that sometimes causes pain? If I'm in business and I might be the manager of a certain part of that business, how do I exercise my authority in that? Is it done with justice? If I were the Pope or the Bishop, which is not the case, as you well know, and will never be the case, as you well know, person in such a position of leadership in the church, do they demonstrate the values that not only Mark puts forward, but all of the Gospels put forward through the examination of Jesus' life, death and resurrection? Or are we people that spend our time arguing or being disappointed about our role, our place in life, or how life has beset us? That could well be the case for many people during the lockdown, that they feel as though that they've been done a wrong, something evil is being poured out upon them again and again. And why would God do this? And we know very well that it is not God exercising authority and power that causes evil in the world. That is not the case at all. It is God exercising power and authority through Jesus, who travels with us on our journey well beyond Capernaum. It is Jesus who exercises power and authority, but we so often do not recognize it. And therefore, we may well identify with the disciples today. And that would be a good thing in one sense to help us grow. It could be a sad thing in another sense if it stops us and makes us negative and gloomy. The way that Jesus pulls in children to help him understand, help the disciples understand, is really quite clever. That's why I mentioned at the beginning of this reflection that he cured a sick child, and then next he brings a child forward to say to them, never hurt one of these, never cause any of them to sin. And then in the middle we've got this, adults behaving like children, and then Jesus draws a little child in, and we're told he puts his arm around the child. And he says, unless you become like one of these. Now, children in biblical times, in Jesus' time especially, they had no rights. They were effectively non-people in society. Hard to believe, but that they had no rights whatsoever, no legal rights. They were, in a sense, the helpless. They were overlooked by the authorities and by society, and they had no status. So when he brings a child in, Jesus is physically using that prompt, if you like, and saying, unless you are like the innocence of this child, this little one, unless you become like that, then your life is going to be torn apart by the way that you want to exercise power and authority. Or at its very least, the way you do not exercise the love that I have been talking about and trying to educate you with. This is what he's saying to the disciples, and he says to us today. So these little ones, I view it in terms of, for Jesus to receive a little child and then place his arms around them, for us to do the same, it is really our task to take in and accept those who have been passed over, those who are overlooked, those who, in biblical terms, have no rights, who have no status, the nobodies. This is a challenge at the present time. We are to take them in, to accept them, to lovingly serve them. And we are to care for those who most need our care and who cannot ever repay it. I think that's a very significant thing for us in the gospel this weekend, that we are to reach out to those who cannot repay the generosity that we can offer. Our power and authority must be simply a reflection of the healing mercy and the love of God to whoever it is, but especially those who cannot repay it. And how do we do that? Well, we need the fruits, or what we call the fruits of the Spirit. And James gives us those in that second reading. And they are the elements that make up a child, but they should exist in adults. They are the things that reflect innocence. They are the things that teach us to be people of peace, to be lenient, in a sense to be docile, not hostile, to be always rich in sympathy, to make sure that all of our deeds are done kindly and impartially and with great sincerity. That is a challenge when we're isolated from people. I find that very much so myself at the moment. When I can't physically exercise that which I've tried to give my life to, I need the physicality of people. It is a real challenge, and I'm sure that I can sympathise and empathise with many of you who are dying to reach out but are struggling at the moment with the fact that we simply cannot physically do that the way that we would normally do it. If Jesus were sitting here with us now, he would be challenging us as disciples on the road. He would be challenging us to say, you've got a restriction around you. How are you going to get beyond that restriction? And that might be a personal thing or it might be a communal thing. How are we going to get beyond what is currently restricting us? How do we get beyond it now? And what do we learn from it so that we can get beyond it in the future? That will be the challenge that I pick up from this weekend's gospel. So let me finish with a prayer, remembering that Jesus, he put his arms around those children. He laid his hands on them and gave them his blessing. And so my prayer is, Lord, let me, especially these days, let me welcome you as a child welcomes you. Hear my prayer, hear my plea this day. Hear the prayers and the pleas of the people that I serve. And then, with patience and gentleness, I know that you will journey with me. You will always defend me. Lord, keep your love in the light of my life. And let my misunderstandings and limitations never ever hold me back from journeying closer to you. And Lord, bring out the little child in each and every one of us. I ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you all this time.